Neil, thank you for joining me on Sounds Good this morning.
Glad to be here, Tracy.
The last time we talked was on November 9th. It was just before the Brushy game. So basically, we've got the first six games of the season to talk about, including some very interesting games played in the Charleston Classic. So I guess we can start at Brushy. That was a fairly one-sided victory by the Racers, as was expected.
Yeah, it was supposed to be. I know last year's team, that's what they did. The teams they were supposed to trounce, they trounced them. And the teams that they were supposed to be competitive against and beat, they beat them. And that was going to be interesting to see. Is this going to be a team that struggled against Brescia, a team that they should handle easily? And they didn't. They played well. Some of the freshmen got in, played well. Jeffrey Moss had a really good game that particular evening, and we got to see a lot out of them. So everything was accomplished. It was supposed to be. Our former director of basketball operations, who is the head coach at Brescia, Josh Gibson, they got a check for coming in and playing. So everyone got what they came for and a Racer victory. So everything was good that night. And a really good opening night crowd, considering it was a Friday night competing with football.
Then they headed to the Charleston Classic and played three games. Let's start with the Auburn contest.
That was a game that's puzzling to me because even when we were setting up our equipment for the game that night, if you would have offered me a deal, I'll give you a one-point win over Auburn, I would have taken it. And I think most people would have. Going thinking, you know, it's an SEC team, and whether or not they have SEC talent, they have SEC bodies. Just take a look at what's out there athletically. If you just looked at athletes on the floor, brought somebody in, didn't know anything about the teams, they'd say the Racers going to have a tough time winning this game. But it's not about the look of the athletes. It's about the skill, and the Racers were phenomenal. They showed what they can do. This is probably the best case scenario for them when they're hitting threes and then speeding a team up from a tempo they're not used to. That's what can happen. Snowball effect. They just continued to get points. Auburn had no way to stop them. By the time they adjusted to the tempo of the game, they were buried. And, you know, if you would have told me that, I don't care what SEC team it is, that Murray State would lead an SEC team on a neutral floor by 38 points at any point during a ballgame, I told you were nuts. That was one of those games that at 20 points, that was the final margin. It wasn't anywhere that close.
So after that fairly easy win, they took on St. John's. St. John's was very young last year, and everybody said they were going to be better this year. Racers ended up winning it by 5 points. What did you see during that game?
I saw as good an athletic team as I have seen in terms of just sheer numbers. They were big, long, fast, quick, did a lot of things well. Back-to-back top 10 recruiting classes by Steve Lavin there. So there's a ton of talent on that team. And, you know, they're going to get some big wins this year. But what I also saw happen is you saw the youth show up for St. John's. And the Racer starters, that's where all the experience lies with Daniel Cannon, Stacy Wilson, and Dexter Field, even though his experience really hasn't been at Murray State. He's an experienced college player at UAB. That set in, and St. John's didn't respond well to the adversity. The Racers were able to do much better on their transition defense. That's where they had lost the lead early on. St. John's had built the double-digit lead. And the Racers were able to come back and win, make free throws down the stretch, and they rattled St. John's. It turned out to be a fantastic win for the Racers in comeback fashion before a good audience, I think, on ESPNU. And it opened a lot of eyes that here you go playing an SEC team and a Big East team, and there's two wins. And I think a lot of fans thought, uh-oh, here we go again. They might win 23 in a row out of the gate.
And then they advanced to face Colorado in the championship game. I know we were talking the last time you were in, and I think both of us expected that to be, if things went well for the Racers, a Murray State-Baylor contest. However, Colorado won that game 81-74. What happened?
I watched the Baylor game the day before, and the way Colorado beat them, they just played smarter basketball. They did better things with their possessions. Yeah, Baylor gambled too much. Colorado made the shots they needed to make. The only thing they didn't do was make free throws. That should have been a double-digit win against Baylor for Colorado. They went 4 of 18 at the line. They're not a bad free-throw shooting team, but they were that day. So against the Racers, It was an ugly game. Anyone who watched it, I think, would attest to that. It was defensive-minded. The officials never really let the teams kind of play it themselves. They seem to have a little more control than at least I like, at least from my viewpoint. Not favoring either team. It's just kind of the way the game went, and it just turned into an ugly affair. But this is one where the Racers got in foul trouble, and some of their inexperience showed up. They had to play freshmen. Jeffrey Moss had injured his ankle late in the St. John's game, so he wasn't even available. And the depth, when you don't have Zay on the team, Latrez isn't available, suddenly you have major issues from a depth standpoint, and it really showed up. And the Racers, you know, Stacey Wilson really struggled in that game, jacked up some shots. He has had some problems with shot selection in his career. He's told people, and he really means this, he knows the right shots to take, but in a game situation, it just kind of flies out the window sometimes. But he's a good kid most of the time. He makes great decisions. Just wasn't his night. And the Racers not able to overcome a Colorado team that, right now 19th ranked in the nation. They struggled a little bit against Texas Southern in double overtime this past week at home, but they did pick up the win. They're still unbeaten, at least going into tomorrow night's game against Wyoming.
At the end of the year, do you think the St. John's win or the Colorado loss is going to look better on the Racers' resume?
Probably the St. John's win, just from the simple fact that the Big East is just a better conference with better teams. St. John's, if they could get a win over a Cincinnati, maybe luck up and get one against Louisville or some other teams that are ranked in the top 10, 15, that'll really help. And just their strength of schedule will help a lot. You see that, the Pac-12, I just don't think Colorado's will pack the punch. Even if they turn out to really be good, UCLA has struggled early on. Not a lot of strong teams in that conference as a whole. So I think the St. John's win is going to help them a lot more. But I don't think the Colorado loss will ever be looked at as a bad one this year. I think they're that good. They'll win 20 or more this year.
The Racers had almost a week off after that game. Then they played Old Dominion. Traditionally, Old Dominion's been known as a very physical, good rebounding team. Racers pulled this one out with a 7-point win. How did that game go?
Good program, as you mentioned. They'd averaged 24 wins a season over the last 8 years, and except for one of those years, they've gone to postseason play every year. So they came in with a winning tradition, but not a lot of experience. Only two starters returned. They played a lot of youth. But they have talent. They have size. They have speed. Some good shooters who just really aren't shooting the ball well, yet one of them showed up and had a really good night that night. But defensively, they still get it done, and they're one of the best rebounding teams in the nation. They came in at +9 on the rebounding margin. The Racers were out-rebounded in the first half against them, did a little better job in the second half, and that was, I think, part of the reason for the victory. And, I think for the Racers, they have that mindset, too. From last year, they expect to win every time they step on the floor, and I think that played a big role. Made their free throws, didn't turn it over enough to really make a difference, and picked up a victory over an Old Dominion team. I don't know that they're going to be that great in their conference. They're still probably going to be in the top four.
This brings us to the Lipscomb game. Should I be surprised that the Racers only won that game by 9 points?
If you didn't know maybe the facts surrounding it, you still had Jeffrey Moss hurting. Ed Daniels' back was absolutely killing him. Stacey Wilson's toe was still bothering him. Also, he had bopped a hip. So you had that plus a fatigue factor with just playing 3 games the weekend before. They had just played on Saturday night, had one practice, hopped on the bus Sunday night, and went to Nashville. So I think a lot of those factors kind of crept up on the Racers. But, again, they dug down. They're still a team figuring it out. They found a way to win the game, got enough stops, did a really good job rebounding. And then that's something that I was really concerned about because I think Lipscomb is +8 in their rebounding margin. But the Racers made big shots. And then just monster games from Isaiah Cannon, who had 32 points. Ed Daniel, an incredible stat line. One of the best in the nation this week, 20 points. 18 rebounds, and 5 block shots despite playing with a bit of a stiff back. Stacey Wilson had a good game. So all in all, just get out of there with a win. They sort of have more than a week off because they don't play until Tuesday night, and then they play Bethel. That's probably going to be a game where they're heavily favored, and the starters will get limited minutes. So this is right what they need at exactly the right time.
Before the season started, I think you and I and everybody knew Isaiah Cannon and Ed Daniel were going to get theirs. They were going to lead the team, and they've done it. It seems like Stacey Wilson has become that third scorer. I think he's actually second on the team in scoring. But rebounding-wise, although Ed is averaging a double-double, there doesn't seem to be that second big guy to crash the boards. To me, that seems like if there is an Achilles heel, it's going to be that lack of quality big bodies on the front line behind Ed.
And I that you mentioned Achilles heel, and I'll point that out in a moment, but you are right. Brandon Garrett, from a rebounding standpoint, hasn't probably brought the stats they want on a consistent basis, still battling a little foul trouble, battling consistency. He had 13 points against Old Dominion. That was good, but he didn't rebound particularly well. And then he had foul issues against Lipscomb. But this week, we learned that Latrez Muschat, ahead of schedule, he returned to practice as of yesterday. Not full practice yet. I believe the Racers will have him back sometime around Christmas. That's 3 to 5 weeks earlier than expected. Your rebounding will be taken care of once Latrez comes in. It would still really be nice if someone else would step up. They need to get more rebounding out of Brandon Garrett. But adding Latrez in, he's like that superstar utility guy that you're going to get late in the season, can play multiple positions. He could play all five, and you wouldn't really be bad at any of them. So that's good news. But he rebounds, he plays defense, he knows the offense, and he's satisfied to be the role player and do whatever it does to help his team win. It'll be like trading for a superstar guy down the stretch when they get him back.
Latrez may very well be the third best all-around player on the team. So that's it's not an understatement to say that it's a real shot in the arm for the Racers.
Yeah, I think so too. And, you know, they're not rushing him back. From what I understand in talking with trainers, once the Achilles has healed, it's not like a knee or anything else. Once it's healed, you're okay to go. Sometimes you can ask any athlete. Juwan Long, I know he told us this. He came back out of his knee injury, and he was just afraid to push it. He played slow his junior year, kind of afraid to push it. And then finally his senior year said, you know, I'm just going to let it all out. If it blows out, it blows out. And he was able to just have a fabulous year last year and be a huge part of that Racers 31-win season. But, you know, it's a mental block in there usually for a while to be able to push it, because you're always in the back of your mind. You remember the day you heard it. And you think, I don't know if I want to push it yet, but I think Latrez will be there. He's handled everything well, done things the right way, listened to the training staff, and I think he'll be ready to go.